We are blessed to be on the time side of life with Wi-Fi or some form of way of being able to connect with the virtual service here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And for that alone, we ought to truly be thankful. We're thankful that God has spared us in the midst of so many trials that's going on in this world. We have lost many loved ones for different reasons, but God has saw fit to allow us to remain, and so yet he's not done with us. And so we are here virtually and physically for those who are here to worship God, for he is worthy of our praise. God alone is worthy of our praise in spite of everything that's going on. All by himself, God is a good God, and we are thankful that he has allowed us to be here this morning, and we are hope, trust, and pray that you are in the mindset to give him his due, to give him your attention, because he is worthy of praise. This morning we're going to come from the book of Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, I will begin reading at verse number 24. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse number 24. The Bible reads, "So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.'" If I was to title this lesson, it would be "Wrestle Till You Overcome." Wrestle till you overcome. In this world today, 2020, we've come to the second to the last month of 2020, and it's been quite a year. There's division in this country, and there's not just Republican and Democratic views, but also with multiple crises that are going on in this nation. We have disproportionate killings that are still going on with African Americans. And that one thing brings about fear. And there's fear on both sides. There's fear that could, for Caucasians, it may be what may happen. For African Americans, is what is happening, has happened, and may happen over and over again. There's fear that's ravishing this nation through a virus that we cannot see, and it has brought us to a point of humility. And now there's a 9 million cases nationwide for the virus, and there's a silent pandemic between ages 12 and 30 years old of individuals that are asymptomatic that carry the disease. They can be called super spreaders. And now also, to add on top of that, we have the day after tomorrow will be Election Day. And we will, if you have not already, go to the polls and make a selection of who will be the next president. Already to date in the state of Texas, there have been 9 million votes, ballots cast, and that surpasses all of 2016. 90 million votes across the United States, which is 66% of the vote in 2016. There's a movement, regardless of what side you may be on, there's an uproar in this country. And it is causing fear to take place. But I want you to know that no matter who is elected, I do not place my faith personally in any candidate in office. My faith is in the Most High God. And so we don't want to get caught up in the election thinking that things may change for the better or for worse, depending on who's in office. Now, there may be some immediate things that may happen, but we are not going to get caught up hating our brothers or sisters, male or female, white, black, Hispanic, or whoever, based on how they vote or what may be going on in the country, because God will have us to love one another. But we also don't want to let fear grip us. And so we see Jacob in a place that is many of us being left alone. In this congregation, we are now up to 7 months of isolation, 7 months of not being able to fellowship. And that lack of fellowship has played a role in our psyche, has played a role in our spirituality, has played a role in our families. When you sing songs, I know sitting in the house, you're not able to hear the words of the songs sang by other brothers and sisters of like faith. Yes, you're singing along, but you only hear the song leader, and it has a less strong effect of hearing all the brothers and sisters singing in one accord to our God in heaven. And being in isolation carries an effect. Now, at the same time, we applaud our leadership in keeping us safe because we cannot afford to come together at this point. The virus has grown in this country, and it is not being kept under control. And the last thing we ever want to do is make one of our own sick, bringing us together and taking unnecessary risks. And so we're thankful for these methods of being able to have and our crew behind the scenes allowing us to be virtual. But there's individual struggles now. I used to be able to see my brother and sister on Sunday and just by us being in the same place, be able to talk about what's going on. But now I have to make the extra effort to call or text. And these are less frequent. And now we struggle with things, individual struggles, alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality. There are things that we normally would never have done had we just been able to go to worship on a regular basis. There would be a feeling of guilt, but being neglected, but not being disciplined to log on or whatever that may be going on. We may oversleep the service, but sometimes we are not as focused as we used to be, and we struggle individually. And it has not just affected you; it has infected our entire congregation. There's growing mental struggles, our mental illnesses, which we'll never outwardly say we have, but we struggle mentally. There's a fear of depression in our families. There's anxiety. There's a fear of loneliness and being alone. And so what would once be a fellowship that would uplift me, now I'm feeling empty. And there's a lot of things that are going on that we're wrestling with in this country, in this nation, in this church, and as an individual. And we need to be mindful of those. So if you have a chance to call someone this week, make sure you call them and check on them. But we're dealing with different things. And so we go back to the text. We see Jacob. The Bible says he was left alone. And many of us have been left alone in our quiet space to deal with some things, to deal with things that we normally would have help. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And in this context, God has told Jacob to go back to his homeland. If you remember, Jacob tricked his brother Esau and took the birthright. And now God has told him to go back to his homeland. And he knows in his mind that Esau, last time I saw him, wanted to kill me. And so he's a bit nervous about this. Bible says in Genesis chapter 32, verse number 3, Jacob sent messages ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, this is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying in Lebanon and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys and sheep and goats and male and female servants. I am sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you with 400 men with him. 400 men. Now, I don't know about you, but if last time I seen my brother, and I have a big hairy brother, as Esau, and he says he's coming with 400 men, that would make me nervous. There is fear that is striking Jacob. And so now he's at a point, the Bible says in verse number 7, in great fear and distress. Have you ever been in great fear and distress? You may be feeling that right now. And so we can see that this man is in great fear and distress, rightfully so, about to encounter something that he has not encountered before. The Bible says, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided his people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and the camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Then the Bible says in verse number 9, Jacob prayed. Now, the most powerful thing you can do politically is vote. But spiritually, the most powerful thing you can do is pray. And so in his midst of his fear, the Bible says he prayed to the Lord. And I want you to look at his prayer. The Bible says, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I want you to see what he does here and what a lot of our children do. You ever told your child you was going to do something and then they remind you, Dad, you said you was going to do this. Sometimes we may need to remind God, not that he needs to be reminded, but in our prayers to the Lord, Lord, you said you would never forsake me. I want this to be done right. I want you to protect me. Lord, I trust you as I go forward. I'm not going to go forward without you. And then Jacob brings to God what God said he would do. And he says in verse number 10, I am unworthy of all the kindnesses and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also my mother's and with their children. But you said you will surely make me prosper and make your descendants like the sea, like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. I want you to see that he brought to God what he already knew. God told him to go back to his land and I will be with you. But here it is, he's now in distress, which so many of us know that God is going to be with us, know that God will protect us, but we still find ourselves in a sense of fear and nervousness. We're in great distress. And in this environment of this world that's currently going on, what we've already seen, what we don't know what will happen, we're in a sense of nervousness and fear and trembling. We don't admit it, especially the men. We'll go to our quiet place and talk about it, but we're concerned about the future. Then the Bible says in verse number 22, drop on down to 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford at Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. I want you to say, sometimes a man needs to be left alone. Sometimes we need to be left alone. The Bible says in verse number 24, so Jacob was left alone. I want you to understand that all isolation isn't evil. All isolation is not a bad thing. Sometimes God can use that isolation for your transformation. Now, we have to understand, for our homes, we have two types of brains living in that home. In a man's mind, if he's left alone, he can be in a quiet place. And that one little box in his mind is a quiet place that nothing can go on. You've seen him do it when he's watching TV. There's absolutely nothing going on in that mind. He's watching TV. If something needs to be fixed, a compartment in his mind, the lawn needs to be mowed. Okay, I'm going to mow the yard and then I'm going to go back to my nothing place. The car needs to be fixed. I'm going to fix that and then I'm going to go back to my nothing place. And we can be in that place that we can be alone to process. Conversely, the female mind, everything is connected. The finances is connected to the dishes, and the dishes with how the house is clean, and the house clean with how you spoke to her, and all of this creates an energy that's called emotion. Now, if you don't understand that one thing is connected to the other, then you'll wonder when she comes to you and want to talk about it. Everything is connected. She wants to talk. But for a man, we can sit in our quiet place and be alone. And if you can understand the differences of the two, then you can understand why he's not talking all the time. I'm trying to help somebody, because somebody may be understand. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you bring it up? Now, I like to talk about my issues, but sometimes you just need to be in that quiet place. This will be the place where he's playing the video game. This will be the place where he's in his man cave. This will be the place where he's just outside, just by himself. And the Bible says Jacob was left alone. And we've been left alone. You've been left alone. We spend a lot of long time these days not seeing others. And this isolation can have a crippling effect if you don't know how to use it wisely. The Bible says, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So out of the blue, out of nowhere, this man comes and he wrestles Jacob. He wrestles Jacob all night long. Jacob must have, during the confrontation, knew that there's something different about this man that I'm wrestling. I'm wrestling with him and he's not giving up. He had to have noticed he has a divine nature, because the Bible says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched his socket of his hip so that his hip was wrenched with the man. And the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. We were wrestling all night. Let me go. God touched his waist, his hip, so that he can have the limp. And now he says, when he saw that he could not overpower him, he touched his socket. And the man was wrenched, and he wrestled the man. Let me go, for it is daybreak. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And this is what I want you to pull from this message. You may be wrestling with yourself. You may be wrestling with other situations that's going on in your mind. But there's one that you cannot let go, and that is the Lord. And I want you to wrestle with the Lord God until you overcome. Jacob stayed and he held on to the man. He must have known there was something about this man that I'm not going to let go. I will not let go of the Lord, because I know you can bless me. My mother may have failed me. My wife and children may leave me. But there's one that I'm going to hold on to, and that is the Lord. And he's wrestling, but he knows that I have this fear of what may be coming with my brother. But I'm here with the Lord, and I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you bless me, until you release me, until you make me who I need to be. He wasn't asking him to bless him with finances and wealth, because he had all the wealth he had recently come into. He wasn't asking him to bless him with wife and kids, because he had those things. He was successful. What was he asking for? It is my thought that he was asking God, make me who I need to be. Jacob, the name means deceiver. God, make me so I'm not who I used to be. He may have been wrestling with what he did to his brother. What I did was wrong. And sometimes we wake up, we wrestle with who we used to be. You used to be Jacob. You used to be a deceiver. And there's some things that you've done that you cannot take back that you did to your family. There's some things that you regret. And so he was wrestling in his mind what was going on. What was at hand? But he knew that God can make me something better. The Bible says in verse number 27, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. That name Israel means God contend. It means wrestles with God. It means God strives or God fights. Now your name is God fights. And with a name like that, you can go forward and know that God is going to fight your battle. And this, from this point on, he was not afraid to go see his brother. He was not afraid because he wrestled with the Lord. Now, I want you to see, sometimes you are bruised on the outside. We used to fall and hurt ourselves, and we still have those bruises that we can see. But sometimes your soul is bruised. Sometimes, and you walk in with a limp spiritually, in your soul you were hurt by something, and you're wrestling with that to this day. You still won't let yourself go. Maybe how you treated your children, maybe something that you've done in your past, or maybe something that somebody has done you. Now Jacob wasn't totally at fault for what was going on. His mom helped him deceive his daddy and take his birthright and deceive his brother, and he's maybe dealing with that, but he wanted to be somebody that was better, and God made him Israel. And you may be struggling with something to this day. You may be wrestling and you want to be better than what you used to. And I say, hold on to the Lord and ask, Lord, help me to be who I am. And I'm not going to let go until you bless me with who I need to be. I have no choice now, Lord. My finances are gone. Everything that I thought I wanted to be is gone. I want to tell you that there's nothing in the theology books, if you studied and gone to school, that prepared anybody for the coronavirus. This is something new, something brand new, and we don't have all the answers. There have been churches that have closed. There have been businesses that have closed because we weren't able to make it through this unforeseen event. But the one thing that you can do is hold on to Lord God's unchanging hand. You may be struggling. Now, there's been a number of name changes in our world. Y'all remember Prince? Prince changed his name from Prince to the artist formerly known as Prince. And he has a symbol. He did that because he was fighting against his record company. What is Beyonce's name when she's on stage? I think I heard it in the audience. Sasha Fierce. When she's on stage, she says in order to get on stage, to not be nervous, she becomes an alter ego in her mind and becomes Sasha Fierce. So that's not Beyonce y'all see dancing. That's Sasha Fierce. But in her mind, she becomes something else. Maybe in your mind, you need to not be who you used to be. Tupac came up with another name for himself. He used to be Tupac. He was Machiavelli. Okay, and it was to have a different theology of different mindset thinking. Whatever the case may be, maybe who you used to be may not be who you are today. And you need to take on a new name. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. You may not change your name, but you can go by another name. There was another in the Bible who had his name changed, and he wrestled. Now, growing up, I remember wrestling. I remember growing up, and it came on Saturday mornings, and I would be an avid, I would watch wrestling. I'm not a fan of it now, but I would watch wrestling. And I remember growing up, there was Junkyard Dog. There was Hulk Hogan. There was some of these guys, Macho Man, Randy Savage. Y'all remember them guys? I know I'm lost the millennials. It's okay. We're coming back. But back in the day, wrestling, and I remember being brokenhearted when I found out that was fake. I was like, somebody told me, I got mad at my mama. She said, boy, that's fake. Mama, anyway, I was upset. And so, but what one thing they did when they was wrestling is they would have a tag team. They would have a tag team, and every single time if there was a tag team, one of those guys was getting whooped. When he got whooped, what did he do? He would tag your partner and come in, hey, come help me. The other dude who was getting whooped would go on the side. The guy who tagged went in and started whooping up on the dude, just miraculously, because he was fresh, he could start whooping the guy. Now, y'all know Dwayne Johnson. Y'all know him as The Rock. He took the name of my wrestling partner, Jesus Christ. And when I'm in a situation and I feel that I can't handle it, my wrestling partner is The Rock of Ages. And I'm asking you, you may be getting down, you may be getting beat up, but there's a wrestling partner that you don't have to wrestle by yourself. Tag, Lord, come handle this situation for me. I give it to you because I cannot handle it on my own. And a lot of times we go crazy trying to mentally wrestle in our minds who we should be, what we should do, and we haven't tagged into our partner. God, we are all wrestlers. You're a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. The difference is that we're not getting paid to be wrestlers. And our wrestlers, our matches are not on stage for display for everyone to see. We wrestle privately. Sometimes we don't even tell our wives what we're wrestling with. We don't tell our husbands. We don't tell our children. And we sure enough don't tell the people on our job. And we come here, when we come together with the saints, we don't tell them what we're wrestling with. But God knows you're wrestling with something. And you're wrestling with who you should be, who you thought you were, who you know you should become. And we know that it's a hard time sometimes, but Lord is going to help you with your wrestling. There's another that wrestled, and that was Paul. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you persecuted. He replied, now get up and go to the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound and did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when his eyes opened, he could see nothing. So he led him by hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. I want you to see what was happening here. Something that I wish that I could have this type of conversion, because I wouldn't do half the stuff that I do. He was blessed that he was able to be. If you know where he came from, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew the Jewish law, and he know what the Word of God was teaching, what they were teaching. But he was so against it that he was killing and imprisoning children of God. And can you imagine how he felt when he found out that those who he was crucifying was the Messiah that he expected to come? And so during the brighter day, a light came and blinded him that he couldn't see for 3 days. Now, I don't know if you've gone and been in the dark anywhere for 3 days. He couldn't eat for 3 days. That is isolation. That is isolation, an unimaginable isolation. Matter of fact, they put men in prison for solitary confinement. For that amount of time, they come up damaged mentally. They can only stand to be in there for so long. But to be blinded, he wasn't eating. The Bible says in verse number 11, look at verse number 10, Acts chapter 9, verse number 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Jesus, yes, Lord, he answered. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. 3 days, blind, not eating or drinking, and praying. Could you imagine what was going on in his mind? The grief. This is just me. I believe that thorn in his flesh, which the Bible doesn't specify, is the fact that he dealt with all the death and killing, and he was so wrong. Have you ever been so wrong? So wrong about something, you find out, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been that way, and I can't take it back. But what he did for the rest of his life is he became somebody that God would be glorified. And every day afterward, he gave to the Lord. Once the Bible says, Ananias, he was praying. Verse number 12, in a vision, he has sent a man named Ananias to come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. The Lord, Ananias answered, I heard many reports that this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he was come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who come in your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the king and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he will suffer in my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered, placing his hands on Saul. Brother, Lord, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has come here, has sent so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and again, he was able to see again. He got up and was baptized. And after he took some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples. And verse number 20 is what I want you to see. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. He immediately went on the work of the Lord. When you are converted, there's something that's going to happen to you that's going to change you. A lot of times we wonder why our children haven't given their lives to the Lord. They were raised in the church, yes. But the event that would change their life may have not happened yet. There's going to be an event that happened to me. I got baptized when I was 12, 13 years old. But it was a life-changing event later on in my life that caused me to say, you know what, I'm going to live for the Lord and Him only. And sometimes there's things that may have not happened to our children. Yes, we teach them. Yes, we want them to get baptized, but they are not converted until the Lord allows them to feel a sense of loss or something happens to where they can go nowhere else but to the Lord. But sometimes it does happen to them and they still reject it. There's sometimes the seed just will not grow. But you do what you do as a diligent parent to teach. As long as that child is living, you're going to serve. But Paul was able to receive his sight. And from that day forward, being blind for 3 days, praying to the Lord, it changed who he is. Now, Jesus didn't change his name to Paul. Saul can be known as Paul. Acts chapter 13, verse number 9, you can see that. But he went by his Roman name, changed his name to Paul, and became a man that you and I has read through all the scriptures. But he also struggled spiritually. He struggled mentally. If I would love to do a psychological analysis of Paul, because you see he's dealing with so many things on a daily basis. Go to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. The Bible says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. I'm going to read it again. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. What I hate, I do. I'm doing what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I end up doing. That's a lot of us sometimes. You ever done something you know, I don't want to do this. But you end up doing it anyway. And what you know to do, you still fail to this day to do. And there's a struggle, there's a wrestling spiritually in his mind and in your mind as well. I know for me, we wrestle day by day spiritually of how we should be, what we should be doing. Do I go back to my old ways? And I want you to see that Paul constantly thought about the future. His mind was constantly on the future. And in that mindset, he was able to keep him from going back to what he used to. And he was a devoted Christian for God's kingdom here on earth. And you and I may wrestle. We wrestle into this day. We haven't called on our partner. We haven't asked God to help us in this way. And we're struggling by ourselves. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot make it on your own. You need the Lord. And you need Lord, and you need help from his fellow followers. So what I'm asking you to do is call somebody. Call somebody and talk to them about it, because your isolation is where the Satan can get in your mind and allow you to leave the church. Lord knows we don't want you to do that. But we see that you're not the only one who struggled. Bible says in verse number 16, Romans chapter 7, verse number 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that is good. Verse 17, it is as is no longer I do it myself, but sin living in me. He goes on to talk about how he struggled. But verse number 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Paul knew that he was a wretched man. Paul knew that he was dealing with the things that bothered him. But he trusted in God. He was honest with who he was. And because of that, he was able to continue to serve to his death. And he was shipwrecked. He was threatened to life multiple times. His life was on the line. He was able to write in prison powerful, encouraging letters in prison. He was able to be an example for you and I. And he still struggled. He still wrestled. But in the end, he gave his life to the Lord. And as we see Jacob struggle, as we see him in the midst of his fear, he wrestled. He did not let go until God blessed him. And I'm here today to tell you, do not let go of the Lord until he blesses you to be who God wants you to be. And somebody may say, I'm 70 years old. It does not matter how old you are. There's no, that God is done with you when you breathe your last breath. You may at this point in your life be who God wants you to be.
You used to be Jacob. You used to be a deceiver, but now you are Israel. You are God fights. And it's time to leave the Jacob alone. And you may be in the midst of your closet. You may be on the job. You may be in the car wrestling. But when you get out of that car, make your determination. I'm going to be Israel today. I'm going to leave my Jacob alone. And anybody that judges you for Jacob has not seen your conversion, has not seen who you are. Don't let these human beings, I'm talking about people that's in your family, in your home, on your job, judge you by who you used to be. That'll bring you back to that lowly place and cause you to drink, cause you to get depressed. No, I'm a child of God. I'm no longer Jacob. I am Israel. I am a child of God, and I will serve till my dying day. And I'm going to hold on to my God until he blesses me or until I overcome. I'm going to wrestle till I die. I'm going to wrestle till I win. And if I get down, I'm calling on the Rock of Ages to tap in for me. If you're here this morning and you stand in the prayer, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it does great things. It availeth much. If you're not a Christian, you become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. There are many things that we're dealing with in this day, and we're wrestling with who we should be and who we used to be and who we are now. And there's an internal war that's going on with you and I. The flesh has its desires, but the spirit has its desires, and God would want you to fight and win in the spiritual. You are not left alone. You are not by yourself. Now, a lot of times we allow our emotions to carry over us. Now, the other day, the alarm, smoke alarm goes off. Smoke alarm goes off, and it is alarming the whole house. Do I jump up and say fire, fire, and tell everybody to throw all the stuff out of the house and run out of the house? No, what you do is you examine, see what's going on. It ended up being a faulty wire in the smoke alarm. So I go, we fix it, we remain inside the home. Had I jumped to conclusions and just told everybody to run out the house, throwing stuff out of the house, and there's no fire, I would have not examined. Sometimes your emotions is that way. Your emotions make you feel a certain way. And without doing any research, you react in a way that's not meant to react. You're going off how you used to be. But you need to go find out, why am I acting like this? What's making me be this way? Why am I still caught up? And a lot of times we're caught up because we haven't investigated that we're still living in the old way of our thinking. Yeah, we were baptized for the remission of our sins, but we haven't come up a new creature because we're still thinking that way things are. We haven't tapped into the word of God. We haven't tapped into our spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth is a daily digestion of God's word. It's a daily prayer with the Lord. Lord, help me. I'm wrestling with this. What should I do? It's constant thinking. Now, if you're not careful, every alarm that goes off, you react like you normally react. Now, an alarm going off in the house is unsettling, especially in the morning. And it is there. It's an alarm. I'm supposed to react to it. But I'm supposed to react by doing due diligence. What do I smell? What does it look like? Is there a fire going on? Because you go off on your family. You go off on the people in your life. You go off because there's alarm in your emotions and you caught up with how you are and you haven't investigated. There's no fire. There's no reason to throw everything out of the house. It's because you haven't investigated who you are spiritually. Who you are used to be is not who you are now. Church, we need to be a better. We need to not be Jacob. We need to be Israel. It's a tale of two different men, and it's the same person. Paul and Saul, tale of two different men. Two men, the tale of two different men, but it's the same person. And that same person keeps making that same mistake. You and I keep making that same mistake. Who are you going to be today? Who are you going to be tomorrow? Sometimes, we think that men aren't moody, but sometimes when you see him by himself, quiet, he's in emotion. He's thinking. He's thinking about how he should handle the situation. Allow him to be alone. Jacob was left alone. He sent his family, his wife and kids over to the sea across the body of water, and he was left alone. And then he struggled. He struggled with the Lord, and maybe he was struggling with himself. Sometimes we struggle, but we don't call on the name of the Lord. I'm asking you to call on the name of the Lord and get the help that you need. And it may be not just praying, but you call your elders, You call your deacon. You call somebody that's close to you, maybe on your side of town, and y'all pray and you talk about it and get it out, because that is how you're going to make it through and not be who you used to be. If you stand subject to invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.